Take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 2. In the summer of 1967, I know that's just a day, that's a couple years before Noah hit ground, but anyway. In 1967, the summer ended, and I hopped on an airplane, and I flew to Old Town, Minnesota to play football. And I called the coach, and when I was leaving Michigan, I said, "Can you pick me up at the airport?" "Sure," he said, "I'll pick you up." So when I got there, three of my buddies were there. We were laughing and giggling and getting in trouble like we normally did. And but as we rode back to the college, which is over 50 miles from Old Rochester to Old Town, the guys were kind of quiet. And I didn't, you know, couldn't figure it out. And just before the coach stopped the car, well, he pulled over, he said, before we got to the dorm area, he said, "Hey, sir, I got to tell you something." I said, "What's that?" He says, you're not going to be able to play football this fall." I said, "What?" He said, "We have very stringent scholastic rules at Billbury Baptist Bible College, and you've got to carry such a high score that if you don't meet that, you can't play football." And he says, "I hate to tell you this, but," he says, "hey, you got 3 more years. You're going to be redshirted this year." He says, "You can still play 3 more years. That was pretty tough for me to take because I knew that springtime, during the freshman year, springtime leads to girls and flowers and bees and all that other kind of stuff, and you forget about all those things that's called taking tests and making sure that everything's right. Well, at the end of the semester, I realized I needed to bring up a score percent. So I took sociology, and I got a B+ in it. I was really excited about it. Little did I know. In fact, I just found this out 3 years ago when I became a senior chaplain through the International Conference Police Chaplain. You got to send in all your what do you call those things? Transcripts. That rascal had put B-. I still have the card that says B+, but he put B- on my transcript, and it kept me. I was 0.1% disqualified to play football that year. Now, to be very honest with you, that's the only reason why I went to college. I just wanted to play football. Hey, big deal about the classes, you know. I just wanted to play football. And so when that coach told me that, it did not register very well with me. I was very disappointed. All my buddies back in Michigan, they thought the big football player, fullback, you know, the college and all this kind of stuff, and all the stories and all the stuff that was going on. Anyway, when I found that out, I was quite disheartened, not to say the least. And I fumbled my way to my new dorm room that I'd never been in, threw my bags on my bed, and then I pulled those bags off my bed and fell on my face on my bed and wept like a baby. I just cried. I could not. My whole world had completely disintegrated. Everything that I'd hoped for, everything I believed in, everything I've been doing ever since I was a freshman in high school playing football, playing college football, that was the intercollegiate, that was the greatest thing in my life. This is it, you know. When you only have one target, you're really in trouble, you know, and I was really in trouble. And my first thought was that I was going to quit. Then I got mad. And I started throwing things. You know, people do that once in a while. I started throwing things in my room, and my poor new, when my new roommate came in there, he just turned around and left. I was hot. And I got mad at God. Mad. I got mad at my coach. Mad. I got mad at that, at the school. I just got mad. I was frustrated. I didn't know what to do. And, you know, it really wasn't the school's fault. And it really wasn't the teacher's fault, though he did make a poor error on my transcript. It wasn't my coach's fault. It was my fault. I did not take in consideration that life did not revolve around me. So I said, I'm going to quit. And thank God for a friend of mine, Jimmy Sherrod, came in. And he says, hey, man, I just heard that you're not going to be fullback, first string. I said, I know, Jimmy. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, man, he said, just kind of hang in here for just a little bit. Don't give up yet. It's going to be all right. And he kind of talked me down out of the thing. Here's something that I have learned in my years of life. When your decision maker is broken, don't make any decisions. When the doctor tells you that you got cancer, or maybe he tells you you have diabetes, or maybe he tells you that you have some kind of mental illness, maybe you have the stress of depression and family burdens and problems, divorce, teenagers are in trouble or just plain out of control. Let someone that can help you make some good decisions while your decision maker is broken. Thank God for my buddy Jimmy Sherrod. Looking back, if he would not have came into that dorm room and settled me down, I would have packed my bags and came home. And if I had quit, I would have missed marrying my precious wife, Marcia. I'd have missed coaching the old-time Minnesota City 6th grade championship team. I would have missed showing off my championship football team in the Owatonna High School halftime show. It had over 5 touchdowns in 15 minutes. If I would have quit, I'd never learned some very important life savings lessons. I would have had been standing behind, I would not be standing behind this sacred pulpit today. You see, my disappointments were God's appointments. And God was going to use my disappointments to teach me some very valuable lessons that follow me all the days of my life. It was through God's mercy and God's providence that He took me out of football for my sophomore year and taught me more to life, the game of football and life, than I'd ever could imagine. It all started when my good friend from Stuartville, Minnesota, Bobby Bardwell, came to my room and he said, I heard the buzz at Pillsbury that our starting fullback has been redshirted. Is that true? I said, yeah, it is. And he said, I want you to know that he said that the park and rec of Owatonna has asked for some of the guys to go down and help coach some 6th grade football, tackle football teams. And I don't know much about football, but he said, I want to do that. Would you come and help me coach this team? So to make the long story short, I told him I'd help him. And, you know, I'm going to get something, so hang on to me. You know, a lot of football players play football game, but they don't know much about the game. I was kind of like this. Quarterback, give me the ball. Let me run a touchdown. And that's about all I knew about the football game. I didn't know a lot about it. Didn't know a lot of the rules and everything. But I knew that if you give me that pigskin, I knew which way to run. And for some of you out there that were wondering, yes, we did wear our helmets back in those days. I went to head football coach Boo Foster, who had told me that I couldn't play that year, and asked him for some few pointers. I said, Coach, hey, you know, Bardo wants me out. He don't know nothing about game. I said, I know a little bit about game. He said, I'll tell you what, sure. He says, teach them the basics. Just teach them the basics. Teach them how to block. Teach them how to tackle. Teach them how to hold the ball. Teach them how to kick the ball. Teach them how to return the kick. Teach them how to punt. Teach them that there are four downs, and you have to advance to 10 yards, or you're not gonna have that ball again. Teach them there are four quarters. Teach them that they have about a half time, and that's time to regroup. Teach them offense and how to come off the count. Teach them defense, how to come off the snap, and teach them to play as a team. It's not one person. It's all of the group together, 11 of them. Basically, teach them the rules of the game. You know, there's a lot of people on Jesus Christ's team that don't know a lot about the basic rules that Jesus Christ has set down. So I thought of, you know, there's a lot of people, you're Christians, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you know what that coach gave me? He gave me the rule book. He said, this is a rule book, basic football rule book. Everything in the game is right here. You do what this says, and you'll be a winner. This morning, I'd like to be your coach. And I'd like you to give you some basics of the Christian life that you may not know of yet. There are five different words in the Bible that give us basics for the Christian life. There's knowledge. Man, you got to know something, amen? There's knowledge. Here the scripture says, verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So we need knowledge. And secondly, we need faith. You need love. You need obedience. You need perseverance. And so those are really the five basics of the Christian life that we have to. So if I was your coach today, we'd have a chalk talk. How many ever been to play football? How many know about chalk talks? Amen. Our coach would give us chalk talk, and then he'd have, back in those days, we had the 16 millimeter movies, you know, and of the games. And they switched me from linebacker I moved from fullback, I went into linebacker, and then they found out that I was pretty fast, and they put me to defensive end. And the first time I was playing linebacker, the ball was coming to me, and I took one, two, three steps like this. I could still see it because they played it back. That cotton-picking coach had turned that thing on and then back up there and said, hey, Shear, how many steps you taking back? He said, I thought we're supposed to proceed, not recede. You know, and one, two, three. And then the whole team was just, one, two, three. Shame to me. And I needed it. But anyway, you know, these are some things that we would show some clips, and we'd show some things just to remind us. And so I want to give you the five basics. Knowledge, you got to have knowledge. I'm going to start with that this morning. If you understand the meaning of these five words, I'm going to tell you something. You can be a champion of Jesus Christ. You know, the Christian life is not difficult. 75% is just showing up to church. You know, that's not hard to do. 75% of winning is just showing up. Amen. I'm reading a book by a friend of mine, and he's saying the fourth quarter matters. And he talks about how that a lot of men get into their 50s and 60s, and all of a sudden they just quit. And he says these are the greatest times. He said no football team has ever won by playing the first half. How many remember the Super Bowl this year? How many turned the thing off? Yeah! And all of a sudden, happy day, the Patriots win, amen. I don't care who it was. It was just a great game. You know, dumb me, I preached and we had the Lord's Supper and we all this stuff. And I couldn't figure out why everybody's just trying to knock me over, get out of here. Here they're trying to get home and watch Super Bowl. Folks, you got to remind me of those things, amen. And I got home and sat down, and all of a sudden, they give that ball off that guy. He runs in, and it's over. I mean, I had 3 seconds of watching it. That was it. But that was worth the whole thing, man. What a deal. Let me tell you something. Some of you people who are getting a little bit older think that it's all over. It's not over. I don't know how many people come up to me and say, Pastor, when are you retiring? And I say, retire? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You can't retire as a preacher. You just can't do it. It's not in the books, amen. Now, if God takes your tools away from you, of course. But you don't retire. And I said, are you kidding me? I feel like a 25-year-old guy. I really do. Boy, the other day, before I got this crunch, whoever gave it to me, I will pound you. But anyway, Devin came over. God bless you, Devin. She's just wonderful. She reminds me of Mrs. Ortez, except she's a lot quieter. But anyway, I tell you, every time I talk to Mrs. Ortez, I say, you know what, Devin, just like you, except she's a lot quieter than you are. Ah, preacher! But anyway, the other day she's over, and you know what I did? I pulled that big old yellow Harley out. No, I'm not telling you how fast it went, but it goes, I'll tell you. Brought it back and jumped on my Roadster and took that out for a little bit and brought it back. Amen. Boy, it's good. I still feel like a kid. Except Wednesday, I felt like I was dead. Amen. But anyway, you know, in a Christian life, there's no end. We're just tracking right now. We're just going through some trails we've never been down, and God's just given us some trials to see how we're going to handle these things. Your mama's going some big trials today. Pray for my sister Bernice. Going through some tough times today. You know, all of us going through. Some people are going to go in surgery this week. Going through tough times in their life. You've never been down that way before. It's never happened. Some of the things in our lives we've never seen. I remember the first time I was told not to come back to work. That was a tough trial. That was a real tough trial. I was a young guy working construction. The guy said, you don't need to come back tomorrow. That infuriated me. Some people go through those things. Some people lose their jobs. You know, I have found out the things in my life that happened to me is that I can help others. I want to be a help. I want to be encouragement. Listen, there's some times in my life that I just want to. My mama used to say, I feel like just digging a hole and crawling in and covering up the hole. Sometimes that's the way we get in our lives. Sometimes, you know, sometimes things are, you know, flashing and boy, it's woo, it's wow, man, everything's going good. All of a sudden, you know, engine goes out in it, you know. It's wild things in our lives. But if we would get the knowledge of God, and I want to talk to you about, first of all, the knowledge. I want to get to some knowledge here because here's some things that will get us through in Christian life. The first basic thing in the Christian life is knowledge. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know Him. Here, hey, you've got to get the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You've got to get to figure out who He is, what He is, how He does things, so we can trust in Him. That it may be fully acquainted with His nature, His character, His work, and with His salvation which He hath worked out. It should be the highest object of desire in the mind of a Christian to find out, get knowledge of the Almighty God. That's our greatest gift as a Christian, to know God. And here He gives